Every time I hear the parable that was just read from the gospel, I'm reminded of this imaginary doctrine that seems to be within us, the doctrine of fairness. Fairness, I think we all carry that around. It's a nice idea until you try to live it out. As the parent of two boys, I remember well the challenges of trying to balance the lines of fairness. I think any parent has tried to do this. It's an incredible balancing act, and you're called into impossible situations. Trying to be the judge and jury of every conceivable situation, because our kids play upon that doctrine every day. Who called shotgun first? Or the running tab of who got what for the birthday? You know, there's an ongoing calculator going on in your kids' heads, and they know exactly what the score is. They will remind you, too, what the score is. Who started it? How do we end it? You know, every parent wants to be fair, and that is good. But the more we try to live by this fairness doctrine, the more I think, if we're honest, we're challenged by the whole idea of it. And I think also it breeds an unrealistic expectation that life is fair. There's also a fruit, I think, that is unhelpful by this doctrine of fairness that is elusive, and that is it breeds envy. If you think that something should be fair and it's not, the proper or the natural response is envy. And envy is very, very destructive. We've all heard the term, you have to pay your fair share. Well, what always comes to me is, what is fair? What is fair? Who is fair? Can we be fair? I don't think so. We're not perfect. Fairness is in the eye of the beholder. In the end, fairness is not a standard that we can attain. Love has to rule the day. I think we do our children a disservice if we don't prepare them for the world as we know it, a world that is not fair. And all of us find out sooner or later that life isn't fair. Of course we know that. And as we see in this parable this morning, I think surprisingly enough, we come to understand that God is not fair either. That's right, God is not fair either. It's abhorrent to our minds. But it's only true if we hold Him to our standards. He challenges our standards. He challenges the way of the world in every conceivable way. Life is not fair because we get less than we deserve. No entitlements, no promises, no guarantees. Yet God is not fair because we get more than we deserve. We get way more than we deserve. When we enter into this incredible saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we accept a free gift of grace that is beyond anything that we ever could have imagined, worked for, or deserved. It's not an entitlement. It's not something that you deserve. It's something that is offered to you freely by the saving death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And every one of us that desires that gets more than we deserve. It's not fair. It's grace. Thanks be to God. It's not something that you can earn, but it's a gift. You see, if we apply our own standards, our own worldly standards of fairness to God, we shatter it all. We limit His ability to abound in our lives. And we limit His grace that can work through us. God is fair to all equally. Not by our standards, but by His. He saves. God is in the business of drawing all people to Himself. And He's calling each one of us to Himself by His own standard that is not the standard by which we play on. God is going to save whom God is going to save. And we have to be careful that we don't start putting God into a box. That we don't start limiting what God can do based on our own limited understanding of what we think He ought to do. We mustn't become that self-righteous older brother that we read about in the parable of the prodigal son. Heaven forbid that the loving father would forgive the prodigal. You know, he didn't deserve that. Well, heaven forbid that we become envious because God is generous. Jonah, as we read in the Old Testament reading today, was furious with God. He did not want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God was going to forgive these low-life Ninevites who deserved death. And he didn't want to go. He did not want to share the goodness of God with these people. How dare God forgive them? But Jonah ended up there anyway, despite himself. He knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. That's who God is. That's what His nature is. You see, if we hold God to our standard, we will enter into a dangerous place of envy. And envy is one of those seven deadly sins which will rob and steal the grace of God that is within you. When we allow other people, the standards of the world, to define who we are and what we deserve and you know, what we're entitled to, we just start living as victims all the time, right? We deserve more. The world has dealt us a terrible hand. Yet if we choose to live as victims, we'll never, ever celebrate the uniqueness and blessedness of our own lives. That God has created you and blessed you and given you His amazing grace. That's the identity that God wants each of us to claim and to define ourselves. That we come before Him and worship Him each and every day. That we live lives that are full of joy and thanksgiving. The temptation to live in envy is so incredible in this ultra uber material world that we live in, right? It's always changing. We look at what others have and we think, oh gosh, we got to have it. We look at, we think we deserve certain things. And, you know, Madison Avenue would love for you to believe that your old, you know, gadget is outdated and you need to upgrade, right? Upgrade. Get that new iPhone 10 that's coming out. Or that new car, or that whatever the shiny object is that has got your juices flowing, that was going to make your life a whole lot better. We look at others and we think what we have is no longer acceptable anymore. Oh my goodness. They have it all together. If only we could, you know, have what they have, you know, our lives would be much better. It's a lie. It's a trick. It is the lie of envy. And it's corrosive. It's so corrosive in our lives. It'll ruin it. It'll ruin everything for us. The grass may look greener on the other side, but each one of us is faced with a unique set of challenges and blessings. And everybody has their challenges. And we better think twice before we're willing to trade place with somebody else. Because we really don't have any idea what their life is like. Let's just go ahead and admit that all of us have good things and bad things. And some are more challenging than others. But all of us have a God who is loving and gracious, slow to anger, and relenting from punishing, and abounding in steadfast love. You know, God made us all different. He made our children all different from each other. And there's no way that we can be fair or live by this imaginary doctrine of fairness. He's called us to a standard of love. That's the standard. He's abolished the law, and He's instated a new law. The law is called love. Loving one another. Meeting one another where we are. Love is not fair. Love is where God is. It's not restricted by fairness. God's love is the same for all people. No matter who we are, how much we have, or when we come to His table. But if we allow envy to come into our lives, it is the great robber. It's the robber baron. It's the one that's going to steal and divide and destroy all that God has given us. It's gonna restrict us from being able to come into the nearer presence of God and give thanks and praise and worship. So I think the lesson for this parable today is keep your eyes on Jesus. Each of you, keep your eyes on Jesus, not your neighbor, which we are very tempted and do all the time. And you'll come to know that your cup is overflowing. That your blessing from God is more than you can ever imagine. And that will overcome all of the challenges that are in all of our lives. God has already given you this day more than you could ever ask for or imagine. Keep your eyes on Him and claim His goodness and mercy. Amen.